Monday, June 13, 2022, Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 3:00 p.m.
Just like that. Okay. Call this meeting to order. Let's do the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call the roll, please, Joan.
Robert Keithy.
Here.
Scott Love.
Yes.
Janet Gill.
Here.
Larry Albanicious.
Here.
Troy Lonsby.
Here.
Thank you. A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the County Board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. The first item on the agenda today is the public comment. The Board of Commissioners will help hear comments about any item not on the agenda, and the chair has a discretion to limit the amount of time. Is there anyone here to talk about anything that is not on the agenda? Okay.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
I have information regarding our ARPA funds. We did receive our second half on June 9th. Got $1,944,908. So we currently have a balance of $3,682,013.18. The total interest as of our last bank statement, which was May 31st, we've earned $7,800.80. The disbursements that we've made out of this fund were for the staff bonuses that we did in March for a total of $215,735.17. How we spent with our
money. What's the interest rate, Don?
It is
nowadays.
Yes, I wrote it down here.
Are we up to one yet?
No.
No.
We're not even up to.
We're not up to one.
I think it's 0.4. I know I wrote it down. 0.49.
Okay.
9.5%. So, yep. Any
thank
questions?
You.
Yep.
All right. Thank you.
Nice.
Thank
great
you.
Job.
That's good news. The anyone else for anything not on the agenda? All right. Then moving on to item two, the consent agenda. Any individual item may be removed by a commissioner for special discussion and consideration. Unless there is an exception, these items will be approved as with one single vote of the Board of Commissioners. Items are A, approval of previous meeting minutes, May 31st, and B, approval of payroll claims, May 29th to June 11th. Commissioner Love and myself looked at those earlier, and everything is in order, so I would entertain a motion.
So moved.
I can second that.
Moved by Scott, seconded by Janet to approve the consent agenda. Call the order, please.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes. Just for the sake of how the agenda lays out here today, if it's okay, I'm going to jump to a couple of items. We can take care of those in case there's people that have to go, because a couple of them might take a while. Yep, that's okay. So let's then go to item C, to approve and award bids for Dixon Path Overlay and Gateway Drive Patching Project. We got those bids this afternoon. For those, Jolene is there. Jolene, any comments on these, or do you want to go through these, or?
Yeah, you can see in front of you, Barclay Asphalt had low bid for the Gateway Drive overlay, and Frank's Asphalt had the low bid for the Dixon Path. They can all start the first part of September, mid-September of this year. That's about all I got. There was only two projects and three bidders, so.
Okay.
Okay, pretty simple. I mean, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it. Gateway Drive, the patching, obviously is Frank's Asphalt, which is $19,675.
Barkley, $15,750.
Oh, Barkley, my bad, Barkley was $15,750. And then on Dixon Path, that was Gateway Patching. Dixon Path was Frank's Asphalt at $33,225. So those are the two low bids.
Mm-hmm.
Barkley on Gateway and Frank's on Dixon. So I'll make a motion to approve those two to move forward and get the jobs done on the blacktop.
Doreen?
Yeah.
The bridge down there on Omaha Creek?
Yeah.
They're started, I see.
Right, uh-huh.
Did, now, have they given a completion date now?
No, I don't have a completion date on that. We didn't specify in the bid, since it was when we went through the state bridge match, we didn't put a completed date on there when we bid it out. So he was supposed to start March 1st, but weather, lack of health, some health issues have kind of put him back a little bit, so.
But they are on it, so I'm assuming they'll stay there?
I would sure as heck hope so. Yeah.
I see they brought in a bigger crane, too. They brought the one out of the yard.
Oh, and then they moved in another
bigger
one.
Bigger one there, yeah. So
that's my motion, and then, yeah.
All right, any.
I got a question on the. As a matter of fact, I just drove these two roads.
Okay.
That gateway, it's just a little stretch of it that's actually paved, isn't there? Gateway Drive.
Let me see.
Because it goes all the way around the county fairgrounds, but there's just a little tiny patch. So that's all that was going to be done?
There's this area.
Just another trailer park.
The east-west road.
I went this way.
So, yeah, you would come in here.
Yeah, we looked around there, but this is all dirt until you get over here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all that's going to be done. Okay.
Now, then that's just going to be cut out the best soft spots?
I didn't really notice it being too bad, but
well,
I mean, if it needs it, I guess.
I have to show you.
Yeah.
I'm going to cut them out, put some rock in there, and then stabilize it, and put the asphalt back on.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure I knew where this was at. Well,
yeah, it's a patch job. They're just going to get worse.
Okay.
The patch spots.
Okay.
Did you know where the six of
Yeah, I drove that one, too. That one definitely.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty obvious where that is. Okay.
Yeah, I figured that one out, the other one I was confused on. But, yeah, that makes sense. Just that little stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Scott motioned. Is there a second? And any other questions on those? Seconded by Larry. If not, call the roll, please. Joan?
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Jolene. Let's do the road report under item 4, old business, while you're in the neighborhood.
We had 271 hours of grading roads, 1.25 hours of overtime, 6 hours on tree removal, 13 hours replacing bridge planks on the Walker Bridge, 33 hours on 143rd Street, 8.5 hours on Weigel Creek, 2 hours picking up garbage, 80 hours hauling gravel. We hauled 60 tons of South Dakota Class 5, 60 tons of 3/4 clean, and 1,544 tons of 1.5-inch crushed concrete. Spent 16.5 hours on sign repair, and we had requests for grading on East Sarpy, West Sarpy, 140th, and gravel on Knox Boulevard.
Okay. Any questions for Jolene on the road report?
Thanks, Jolene.
Thank you, Jolene. All right, then let's go then, Jolene, to B. Is your state bid?
Okay. Yep, that'll help.
And you want to run that
so
by?
So John Deere has the state bid for purchase of a motor grader, which is good to June 22nd.
Correct.
We have. It's the same price as the motor grader that we just received. After June 22nd, the price is going to go up about 10.5% on motor graders. I talked to John or Caterpillar this morning, And since their last bid, which was $3,900, boy, that would be a good deal on a motor grader, wouldn't it?
I'll take one of them. $398,259,
and they said their price has gone up since then about 9%. So if we could get in on this state bid, we
what was that state bid again? $385,836.
If we could get in on that state bid, we could save potentially $35,000 to $40,000 on a new maintainer. It would go on next year's budget.
9 months out, right?
Roughly. Yep. Yeah. Probably January, February.
Correct. And the machine you want to trade in is a machine that is how many hours on it?
11,000 hours.
Okay. And
And we probably put that on big iron since this wouldn't be a trade in.
Right. Right.
How old is it, the one that we're trading?
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to say 2009, something like that. I should have looked that up. And this fiscal year, we put $20,000 in repairs in that machine. So it's getting to the point where it's starting to cost us some money.
And I did put like 7 years, 7,000 hours of full warranty. So, I mean, I'm sure you guys will keep them at least that long. But at least it's not going to cost you anything for 7 years. So.
And that's in the price?
Correct. Yep.
Okay, the last time we got a wing post and stuff.
That's all in there.
New wing and new
it'll be exactly like the, yep.
Oh, and then there is what you say for that window.
And I think it's like $1,286. But Brent said he didn't want front opening windows or something because they broke one that was high priced. Like, you got front windows you can open. I'll have to deduct that off there. I did not do that yet. And the reason I say $1,286 is John Deere gets audited, and this price has to match. I mean, we have to go by the state bid. So, I mean, it'll be some, that's why I always said it's an odd amount, $836. I was going to round it up. Oh, you can't do that, you know. So, whatever those windows are, I will take off. It's like around $1,200. So. But, yeah, as long as it's ordered before the 22nd, that's all that has to be done. So,
do we have to have a wing, a new wing?
Well, your cat is, they're going to get rid of an old cat machine. I know that wing won't fit.
It won't?
No. It wouldn't even fit a new cat. An old Ace are different. So,
yeah.
Now, in a few years when you trade up, yeah, them will fit. Like, our wings will last 12 years are the same. So. But a lot of people will keep them because they don't get a lot of use.
Well, we ought to get rid of some of my old junk around there then. Them old wings and the V plows. We got two, or there's five up to the yard there.
Well, V plows should still be good, shouldn't they?
Yeah,
unless,
yeah.
They might be, but we don't use them. We got enough machines.
Oh, I see.
We got two in Homer, one in Emerson, and the one down here out back of the shop. Three up front and two down below. We've got more V-plows than we do motor graders.
I guess I'll double check inventory, but I thought we had a V-plow for every machine.
Well, we do.
But, I mean, and that was it, not an excess of one. But we got end of year inventory coming up here in a couple weeks, so I can check on that too.
So is this kind of our average hours? What kind of hours is average per use?
I asked Brent this question because if you would have put 800 a year on, I would have changed your warranty. But he said they usually put around 1,000 a year on, so that's why I made a 7 year 7,000. He said around 900, so I'm like, well, put 7 year 7,000 on. So, like the city of Dakota City, their loader, I put 5 year 2,000 hours. They don't probably put any hours on it, you know. So you might as well make it match your situation. But so that's to answer your question. I guess that's what he told me. So,
okay. What's the DPF assurance?
Basically, the DPF, you know what that filter is. Like, I'm not to throw my competitor under the bus, but at 5,000 hours on my competitor, you have to service that. It'll just derate your engine. Or John Deere guarantees theirs for 10,000 hours. If something goes wrong, they'll replace it.
10,000
hours? 10,000 hours, yeah. So,
but that's expensive.
Yeah, that's $5,000 because I got my competitor I know is $5,100 because I've been through that. So, yeah, but it's a little over $5,000. So, no matter whose it is, I should say. But.
So we were due to do this anyway, Jolene, in the next year's budget?
Yeah, it would go on the 22-23 budget. We wouldn't get the machine until January, February.
Yeah, so.
Have we done for the budget? We haven't done the budgets for next year, though, have we?
No.
Okay.
Not yet.
So typically, do we I guess I'm trying to...
I think we're trying to play catch-up, aren't we, kind of, to get back up to some lower-hour machines, better-hour machines?
We've got some machines that are due to be traded out, so...
And then eventually we'll try to get back on a program where we can probably maybe start selling our machines or trading when they're just not warranted.
That'd be
all that's probably your goal, isn't it, to do?
That's what I think you should. I mean, that's up to you guys, but then your transmission fails and make $30,000. Or, you know, like she said, didn't you spend 20 on the old one? Just so it's like, you know, but... Anyway.
And you probably have better resale value if you trade it, right?
Yeah.
Maybe the brand's got something to do with it, you think?
Well, you know, 20 years ago, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you, cash resale value was way better than Sears. In today's world, the whole Blue Book thing, like Kelley Blue Book per car, John Deere has the best resale value on Motor Grader. So, them days are over with cat having a better resale. So,
and you're selling John Deere.
Yeah, you know how salesmen are. So.
Yeah, we do.
That's not a biased opinion.
Okay, I'm going to make the motion that we go ahead and authorize to take advantage of the state bid and save
$35,000 to $40,000
on a new grader.
Bob, I'll second your motion.
Okay. Any other questions before we call roll?
I guess I don't work with the road department like the rest of it, but how many operators do we have and how many maintainers do we have? I mean,
seven.
Is there like one?
Seven.
Everybody has a, for each route, then there's one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this would be, we'd switch one out for this one when it came in, so we won't be short at any time.
No.
Okay.
Like the last one, we just got delivered 2 weeks ago. We put it on big iron that won't sell till July 20th. So we have a little bit of a window. We wouldn't put one on to get rid of it until we got a new one.
Kind of delays and sorts of things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and that's been factored in this delay to be January, February. So one payment would come out of next year's budget.
So it's going to have another $700-$800 on it. Does that affect your rates?
No.
Because we're doing.
Well, you guys aren't going to trade it, though.
We're not going to trade it.
Well, that's what I do, yeah.
Yeah, but I
know. Yeah, so it wouldn't matter.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Call the roll, please, Joan.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Jolene.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. So let's quickly do the... Scott, are you up for a jail report?
No way.
Do you have that? No? Okay. We can then move to item E, which is to approve the renewal of managed services agreement with Riverside Technologies as the county's IT provider, effective for the period of 3 years from July 1, 2022 to June 30, 2025. That is who we currently have, and we've had them for how long, Joan? A while. Quite a while.
It's been 4, 5, 6 years?
Quite a while.
Are they counties? Are they kind of a? Is that this kind of specialty counties, or do they do everything?
I think they do everything.
Do some of our?
They're not. Their specialty is not counties. No.
It's not counties.
No.
I think they're more banks and stuff.
They did have one change. They were willing to take out that 10%. Fee if we don't get it paid within 30 days, and we should probably have that corrected before we send it to him. Dave was out of town, but he did call me on Friday when he saw it was on the agenda. Is anybody here from RTI? Okay.
No. So do we want to approve it subject
contingent
upon that change?
Removing that. Did you see anything else? Okay.
I had a question. This is probably the first time I've seen it, I think, because it was, this is for 3 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the, back in the schedule of charges, Appendix B, like I know this morning we were on the, you were on the phone, Joan, with them, and I guess I didn't realize they would build us for help desk calls.
We get it. It's all, they didn't raise our fee. We've been paying, they, $3,500 a month covers all that. That's
come on page 12. What does that mean then? I guess maybe I'm misunderstanding what page 12 is about then. Remote PC support, help desk, remote printer management. Maybe I don't understand what those things are.
Says to include
the after hours. I think you're, are you looking at the second
section?
Oh, the after hours.
So when you call during the day, like this morning, when
normal,
you were trying to get something to work, okay,
included. Yeah.
And I've never had that. I've never seen an extra call, even with the jail after hours. I have never seen that.
Okay. So this is just if they're coming out weird times. Mm-hmm. My fault. I didn't. Yeah. Just happened to look at the rates and said help desk. Okay.
Okay, can I make a motion to approve the RTI with the contingency of the 10% fee within being paid within 30 days that will be eliminated from the contract? That's my motion. I'll second.
Okay, motion by Scott, seconded by Troy. Call the roll, please.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry.
Yes.
Okay, item F is the board approval for Deanna Hagberg, emergency manager, to move her office from the courthouse to the law enforcement center, South Sioux City. Scott, you know, she was up there before.
She was up there for some time, and I think that was when we were looking to eliminate or trying to get away from the LAC at the time, and obviously there was a lot of research and it would never cash flow for the county to have their own dispatch, et cetera, et cetera, to get away from the expenses that we have. But anyways, at that time, she moved down here, and over the last 6-8 months, I think, since the state building is done out there on 110, the state patrol has moved in there. And at one time, she had just a really, really super tiny office, but now since state patrol has moved out, we can have her use one of the offices, and obviously there's still offices that we had up there at one time. Mm-hmm. That now that you know our sheriff's department's down here, but I think it's a good idea just because the fact that Lou's stuck in kind of a probably the oldest part of the building, and that would be a great area for him to maybe possibly go to the public defender's office. So yeah, I think it's a good idea to put Deanna back in the central hub of the county and let her be more
involved. Yeah, it just makes a lot of sense.
It does. It does.
She has a lot of...
it makes sense on both ends, for her and for Lou, for the public defender.
Yeah.
What cost will be incurred by moving?
Zero.
Zero?
Yeah, that's the good part.
No remodel? There's an office already ready?
Yeah, everything's ready up there.
Desk, everything?
Yeah.
We'll actually save money because she will not have to pay for her internet like she does here.
Yeah.
And you know, Lou,
and
then the other thing you got to remember is, Lou's probably going to want to remodel someday. He needs it pretty bad.
We'll send him to the basement.
That's very modern for him, so.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think it's smart.
Okay, so we need a motion then to approve that.
So move, Bob.
Second.
Motion by Scott, seconded by Troy, to approve the move for Deanna. And that's contingent upon her meeting tomorrow night with the LEC.
Yeah, the LEC has to approve it as well.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So call the roll, please, Joan.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Okay, then let's go back to item 3 under new business. Approve modified federal marshals contract for the purpose of an addition to the jail. So I think just for the record, our last discussions were the marshals had our contract back, and we're going to extend that from the 30 months to the 40 months and the 85 beds. And so that's what we got back. And that helps a lot with our cash flow on the project. So I think, well, let's do it this way. So we'll take comments first from anyone here in regard to the project. The board may or may not have questions for you as we go forward. So we'll do it that way, and then so we'll end up bringing it.
May I just say something real quick here?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, it was the 30 months, went to 40. That's kind of what we were requesting to them, right? We were requesting that it's going to take a longer period of time after John put numbers and et cetera and to pay for this, correct?
Well, that's where we ended up. They, the marshals, are the ones that they really, you know, were looking to make this deal work, and they were the ones asking, like, what will it take to do it?
Yep.
So we never, we didn't pull the 40 month
card
from somewhere. No, no, that was from them. So that's kind of where we got today. So so with that being said, I know we probably have some folks that want to address the board. Yay, nay. Let's do it this way. Let's take the folks that want to talk that are in favor first. So anybody? Tim?
Yeah, I'll just, obviously I think the marshals show their commitment and wanting to be here. They're willing to negotiate with you guys. You guys wanted more money or more commitment, and they gave that in the meeting that we had with myself and Janet and Bob. You know, the marshal said we need to have 110 people in here. That's what we'll do. But whether they would put it in writing or not, they didn't. But realize that they still have 150 people, and they want it to be here. And they've waited and waited and waited for us to get to this point. So, I mean, it shows commitment on their part. I know that was one of the questions in the past, is how committed do we think they are? I think it's pretty obvious how committed they are. They're willing to negotiate with us. And I mean, that's another $3.8 million that they, you know, agreed to for the extra 10 months. So I think it's, I mean, to me, it seems to make sense that we move forward with it. So.
Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Anybody else have anything you want to add in favor of the project? Any comments on it? All right. Any opposition? Okay. So it's back to the board. Joan is still writing. Joan has talked to the our banker, if you will, trying to run some numbers on the. Did we get an update from him, Joan?
We did.
On a percentage.
We did. Interest rates have gone up, and Janet asked me this morning about it, and so we called, and it was, I don't know which one, the average coupon rate was 2.139, and it went to 4.359. So the total principal plus interest went from 16,449,430 to 18,435,128, about 1.9 million increase in interest.
That's over a 20-year.
10 years. 10 years. 10 years.
But it doesn't cash flow, does it?
Well,
It doesn't cash flow at 85, but I think we'll have more than 85. I don't know if somebody wants to speak to that, but the other part of that contract states that they will pay the cost, right? They would pay for the 85 beds per month, whether they are filled or not, after the loan is repaid in full by the county, including interest, or after 40 months have passed, whichever comes first.
What takes the precedence, this or the 120 days that's in the original contract? The 120 days where they can pull out if they choose to. Does that take precedence over this here?
That wasn't modified.
No,
I know. Still in there.
So, which is a guarantee that they could pull out 120 days or this increased 40-month thing?
Increase what, Larry?
Well, they're going to increase it to 40 months, you know, okay. But it's going to be 2 years before you ever put a prisoner in there if you even get one in there
mm-hmm.
in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got the option of pulling out according to the original contract, which is a part of this.
Mm-hmm.
They can leave in 120 days. They can just pick up their... Well, even if they got prisoners in there, they got 120 days to get them out, but...
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be 2 years before it gets completed, so if they don't have anybody in there, don't take them long to leave. It ain't going to be 120 days. It'll be a couple of days. They could give you a notification, and it takes 10 days to get it done. And in that same wording, it says a 10-day notice.
Yeah.
Then after this 40 days, you get into where, in the original contract, and it's still part, it would be part of this, there's still... the problem with no guarantee you get any prisoners after the 40 months. None whatsoever.
Right.
And to top that off, currently we get roughly $600 or $600,000 a year off the current prisoners that are today. Those current prisoners will wind up going into the new prisoner retention area.
Mm-hmm.
So we lose that $600,000. I mean, it goes away. It goes into the new part. To complete that 60 prisoners, or 20, well, it's 23 right now, but you put those 23 prisoners in the new jail, and then you add another 40, you know, to get to the 60. So, I don't, to me, we're better off like we are.
They don't pay after 40 months regardless, though it's done after 40 months, correct?
Yeah, or would you ever come soonest? When the loan is satisfied.
But if the loan isn't satisfied in 40 months, they don't pay any longer in 40 months.
That's what the way it says to me.
That's the way it looks to me.
So
whichever comes first.
Guaranteed after.
Whichever comes first.
40 months times 150 times 85 inmates is $15,504,000. If we would house 110 inmates, it's $20 million. If we would house 115 inmates, it's almost $21 million. And if we would fill both the old jail and the new jail at 135 inmates, it would be $24,624,000.
That'd be real good, but the
best case scenario.
85 is guaranteed.
But
85 is guaranteed,
mm-hmm. which doesn't pay for it.
But the sole purpose was to build his new jail to get the bad boys out of this local part of the prisons. Our local guys aren't dealing with federal guys and learning all the bad things they learned from the federal guy. So
they're housed in different pods, aren't they, Tim?
To speak to that, we don't house any. Currently, we deny. ICE wants to house with us again. We don't have any room. The jail's got as many people as we can put in it. So there's other counties. Dixon County doesn't house females, so they're always looking for it. We're hauling housing for Burke County. But we're not housing for those people because we don't have the jail space. So to say that those 23 beds are going to disappear is not really an accurate statement. They're still going to be there, and we can use them for other people, including ICE, Marshals, I mean, other counties, South Dakota Marshals, Nebraska Marshals. I think Brandon and Chris were pretty upfront that they said if it takes 110 inmates, if that's what it's going to take to be in here for those 40 months, they're willing to commit to it. They have, you know, Brandon said numerous times, they have between the 140 and 160 inmates every given day in his control, and they obviously wanted to go to county. We've been waiting here for a long time over this decision, and they've been working with us the whole time. They're not looking to go anywhere else. They want it here. It's a done deal on their side of the things with, you know, with them saying, yeah, if we need to bring in 110, we'll do it. So we've been working with them for a lot of years, and they've kept the county afloat for a lot of years. If that's not trust on their part, I don't know what is.
What's the current capacity of what we have with cells?
140?
128.
I think it's 128, but I think it's truly 140. But yeah, 128 is where we stay at. You're supposed to stay under the max capacity for a case of emergency.
Well, if I'm understanding this report, jail report, right, in May there was 102 beds used.
Well, the marshals have pulled the beds up since we said we weren't going to do it for the last 8 months. But
what I'm getting at, I mean, 102, and then on 2022 fiscal average inmates per day was 103. Well, no, it's actually county inmates 8221, a total of 103. See, for on average for a month.
We've always got to keep a few beds available because on any given weekend, I mean, I'll tell you, like last Friday when I was working until 6 o'clock, they arrested between 4 and 6. They arrested like 6 people. So on any given day, this is a pretty fairly decent sized county when it comes to population and close to the river. It's not uncommon to see arrest 5 to 10 people on a day, especially on a busy weekend. So we got to keep some. Can't always be at. If we got 150 beds, we can't always be at 150. It wouldn't work. You gotta have. I mean, anything could happen. You could have a big bar fight. You could have a riot at Tyson. Who knows what you could have happen? I mean, you got to keep a little bed space available. You can't be at the top all the time.
Well, whatever the magic figure is that we have currently today, cells maybe not available, but there. If there was 130, say, you know, we're still only 27. We still got 27 beds available.
Right. If those beds were, but if it, well, obviously on the other side, you could, the new side, you can fill up with federal inmates. The other side, you can fill up with whatever out there that people are looking for bed space. That could be marshals as well. It could be ICE. That could be local counties. The beauty of the federal inmates, though, and wanting to take them in during the 40 months is all the federal contracts on the marshal side is $150 a day. So I wouldn't want to take necessarily a county prisoner from Dixon County for $45 a day or whatever we're getting it versus $150 a day for a marshal prisoner out of Nebraska or South Dakota. I mean, it wouldn't make any sense.
So we get $150 a day from the feds?
With this, Kirk, once the jail's built, that's the 40-month guarantee, but that's for every inmate. They're given 85 guaranteed, yeah. Every inmate over. Doesn't matter if it's Nebraska Marshals or South Dakota Marshals, they're paying $150 a day, too.
Yeah, I understand.
And the Nebraska Marshal was here and told you, yeah. I had 400 inmates, I had to move around, and I'm taking them to Scott's Bluff. I'll take them here if I can take them. If it's $90 at Scott's Bluff or $80, even if it's $75 at Scott's Bluff, $150 here is cheaper than transporting them back and forth to Omaha, and that's where they're going. So,
I thought we sent them to the federal court in Sioux City.
Depends on, yeah. For the Iowa market, yes.
Yeah.
They're all going to Sioux City because it's just the northern district of Iowa.
Yeah, right.
So, but if it's South Dakota Marshals, it's Sioux Falls, and if it's Nebraska Marshals, it's Omaha. That's where they have their courthouses. Or they have more than that, but that's where their main courthouses are.
So we have 50 to 60 extra beds beyond the county is what we have now, and we're selling as many as we can to the federal beds.
Yes, but
I appreciate that.
They have taken some out since then.
Yeah.
Moved them around.
And the new jail is 115?
I don't think it's been remember 108 and 112 or it's been some final design how they want to mess around with more office space or whether it's needed or not, medical space, video conference. But it's right in there, 108 to 112, something like that. But Brandon's here if you got questions for him. I mean, he can explain their prisoner situation better than I can, but I mean, there's plenty of inmates out there that could be housed, and you know, like I said, we turn down every day. I think we turn down Brandon every day still, because we can't operate at that. Even if we're 128 beds, we're never going to operate at that. It's just we can't do it because we got to have that. The judge could have a bunch of sentencings, you know. And now the way that Nebraska's got the sentencing on felonies, they can spend time in the county jail. I mean, so you got to keep some bed space available. I mean, it'd be nice to be able to house them all, but filled the whole time.
Who pays for the overruns?
Huh? In case we get overrun?
Well, no. I'm asking the board. So this could very well go over budget. Who pays for that? Let's say it goes 10% over, 15% over, 20% over, 30% over. Who pays for that? Because I doubt any project ever anymore is right on budget from all the people I've talked to that do building projects.
Because as far as borrowing, you can only borrow the cost of construction. We're talking cash flowing.
Where does that money come from? Who pays for that?
$18, $20 million at least. Which
the bond was to be paid from the federal inmate cost that we were going, you know, the 40 times 150 times 110 inmates. That's 20 million. That's
110 inmates. Yeah.
Yeah, at 110.
Yeah, that's the number it wouldn't give us. Yeah.
But we're 85, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 85.
The contract's 85. The word is 110.
It just surprises me that they won't say we'll give you 110. If there's these guys sticking out of the windows of other jails and stuff, it looks to me like this would say automatically 110 beds they take for 40 months. I don't understand what the fear is. What the fear is here, and then I have a guarantee after the 40 months that we would get a minimum of 80 or 100. I don't understand it. I mean, there's some fear involved here when this thing is written, because in my opinion, these poor people that put this together don't know what the top's going to say a year from now. And it's got to be what it is. You know? I mean, if I had the doggone many prisoners, I'd say, hey, here you go, Dakota County. We'll guarantee you in writing, and we'll take that 120 days out, we'll put it in writing, you'll get 100 in there for the 40 months, and then we'll follow up with another 100 at the $85 a day. Just why not? We've got so many of them. I mean, I'm afraid to go down the goddamn highway for people.
But even at that, Larry, they'd still have that 120-day termination
take
clause.
Take that out of there. What's it in there for?
I don't think you can take that. Well, I guess if you're writing the rules, you can. But yeah. I mean, most contracts have it protects both sides for whatever reason.
It's conditional, though. You can make a conditional one.
I understand.
Only
that.
If, blah, blah, blah.
Right. I get it.
If
we were writing it, yes.
Right.
We would prefer that.
If we're negotiating it, we should have a right to say only under
scenarios.
Because we're the ones on the hook for 14, 18 million, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, but actually, so the numbers, Joan, run those by me one more time. So the 85 times the 40, and then the new interest rate. So there's a $2 million gap in that end, or just in the raw numbers.
About 3 million.
Three.
It's like 15 to 18.
And
then it becomes
close to $2 million.
Yeah, more and the interest rates are different, so they're almost $2 million.
Yeah.
From the 2-3 something to the 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the concerns I have is as I ran the spreadsheets, it appeared to me, you know, I know this is $500,000, $600,000 to the very beneficial for the county for the cash flow. I do know that. But as you run this scenario, there is virtually no cash flow that comes. I mean, virtually everything, every dime goes back into paying debt. So there will be no excess cash flow helping our budget for, I don't know.
Until.
I didn't recalculate it with 4%. I could calculate it at 2.5%, and we were out 15 years. Assuming every single dime of.
It all works according to plan.
Yeah.
And assuming you don't take any more than the 8.5%.
Right. I use what the contract said.
Yeah.
And after 40 months, there's really no guarantee at all. I just hoped, crossed my fingers, and said I'm going to put 85 in.
The current jail we have, is it up to standard? And there's no, I mean, is it in good shape, or does it need a lot of work?
Built 2004, so it's 18 years old. But I mean, it meets standards, yeah.
There's no repairs needed at the present time.
You're asking the wrong guy, Larry. I'm sure there's a shower issue, but they're working on fixing that. But I mean, there's like anything that's 18 years old, they do ongoing maintenance on it. But I mean, not anything major that I can tell you about.
But everything is up to, I think they said this year every jail in the state is up to standards. First time in a long time.
And so, they talked about closing. Weren't some of the smaller counties talking about closing their jail possibly?
Well, Ponca, they need one. They need one up there. They need a courthouse too. Mm-hmm.
I think we know where this is going.
What are you sitting there back by the window for? Are you cold? Or
yeah.
Hot?
Wow, I like
you. I'm cold. Comfortable right now. Sitting back listening is what I'm doing. But anyways, I think we know what where we're at. Unless somebody has something else to say, I guess. I don't know. I don't foresee it moving any different than what it did the last few times myself. But anyways, I guess, again, I've said this several times, and I'll get this party started and see where it goes. Okay? I'm going to make a motion. Okay, to approve the modified federal marshals contract for the purpose of the addition of the jail. Okay, I will approve it and see if I get a second and see where it goes, and then we'll put this thing to bed one way or the other, move forward or put her to rest. Fair statement.
Sounds good to me.
Yes, sir.
You might get out of here by 5 o'clock.
Maybe.
Hurry up.
I'm going to second it, Scott, but I do want to make it with a contingency. We haven't talked to the engineer yet on his cost, what they've done, and that could be. So I guess maybe that's a side note if we go whatever direction we go. So I won't even make it contingent upon that. I'll just second, because we're just doing the new marshals contract. I mean, that doesn't. Anyway, all right. I'm going to second it as it sits. Any other comments, board suggestions, questions?
No venture, no gain, you know?
And no forward?
I guess, I don't know. I know there's a lot of numbers floating around and flying around, and again, I think I'm very surprised, and I talked to Tim and I walked in, that they've even waited around, and why they've waited around, wanting, you know, an answer from us. And I know that there's been a lot of mixed emotions among this board all the way from the start, when it was a slam dunk, and then all of a sudden the architects got involved, and I don't know what to date we've spent, $200 or $300 or $250, I don't even know. But then once we had our public hearing or whatever. What was it? A public hearing? Yeah, the public hearing with the crowd, you know, and then all of a sudden it seemed like it was going to go in the direction that mainly what the people wanted. And I know, again, the numbers, you know.
That's why I would, and Kim, maybe you can explain this to us. Why doesn't this have to go to a vote of the people? I mean, especially if it doesn't cash flow.
You know, and this is the thing, I guess the people, I think if I remember right in that day.
But I'm asking Kim, can you give me your legal opinion?
You're asking Bob?
But it doesn't have to go on the ballot.
If it's completely paid for, that's okay. But if it doesn't completely cash flow, since it's the taxpayers' money paying for it, it doesn't have to?
No. No, you can do it this way.
Anyways, that's about all I have to say. So, yeah, let's just, hey, listen, at the end of the day, we all be friends and life goes on. I mean, I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, I agree. It's you know, the sheriff, when he first came and you know, it was going to be a potential revenue source for the county, as he said then, and we've all said one time or another, we don't really sell anything here at the county, so we have a hard time making money on things that we do. You know, we struggle to sometimes make budgets, give pay raises, et cetera, to our employees. You know, there's been pay freezes in the past, and so you do what you got to do. But this, to me, it was always a potential source of revenue for the county in the end. I understand, and as I said early on, the board, it's okay to have questions. You can have your opinions, and I get it that it doesn't cash flow until later. Let's put it that way. But if we got to that point, so we were always banking on the over 85 beds, right? Day one, if they start putting in 100 beds, well, there goes our debt, and it just starts, you know, we start paying that off quicker, and we would see a revenue source quicker and start, you know, getting in up to $1 million. And I know that may be, you know, we may never see that or may never have seen that with this project a year. But, you know, we started asking early on, what would you do with $1 million, you know? What road would you do? What raise would you give? Things like that. So, you know, I commend the sheriff for coming with the project. I know it took time, but the board has had lots of legitimate questions. We've tried to make the numbers work. The marshals have been working with us the whole way. They took us when we talked last time. They said, well, what do you need to make this work? And then they threw out that 40 months. But in the meantime, the clock's still turning, and never know about the economy, interest rates, et cetera, and now you see where we are today. It's harder to make that cash flow work, and that initial leap of faith on the 85 beds, the $15 million cost, et cetera, it's just a bigger leap now.
Okay, so what? And I'm sure we've all thought of this. Okay, and I know I've thought of it from the get-go. But you know, the $600,000, you know, that roughly that the marshals, and like I said, I've seen that at $1 million, $1.2 million. Joan's seen it, Kim's seen it, Bob's seen it. But when they were paying big money, and we had a lot of, and I think our administration at the time changed that. But even at today's, you know, they're gonna pull the federal prisoners out. So then that becomes more of a burden for you know, for our budget, so.
But another thing, Scott, is there's a lot of blue sky value, over 85 beds, and if we're going backwards, not making money on this jail, all the money that we made on the other end is going to get dissolved and spent there also.
Yeah, this will be gone no matter what.
I understand that it'll be gone no matter what, but.
So what happens down the road for the future generations that are going to have to build a jail when this contract is available?
You know, that's another thing that you look at too, you know. I don't know.
Well, and the sky may fall tomorrow too, but you know, they may not pull them out. I don't know. I guess we'll have to, you know, we do our best, we move on, and
well, the CAPS program has been in existence. I mean, when I did the research, it's gone back into the 60s and 70s. So if in 10 years or 15 years, whatever, if our jail is, you know, at maximum, I mean, we've got 50 to 60 beds right now that I think we should happily invite the marshals to work with us on those. But in 10, 15 years, if we are using our 128 beds instead of just 70-some, right. Then we should go back to them with the CAPS. They've had that CAPS program for years to help jails when they need to expand. Mm-hmm. You know, this was a plan that potentially looked like it would work, but as you pointed out, interest rates, inflation, cost of construction, operational costs are going to be a couple million a year. That's beyond construction. So
can I ask the federal guy a question? I forget your name, I'm sorry.
Brandon.
Okay, so you guys are going to do something somewhere, correct?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on around the country. All I know is I've got about 140 prisoners for my office. That's just the Sioux City office. That's not the entire district.
Right.
And I'm housing prisoners in 5 states, from Kansas to Minnesota.
Yep. So I remember that conversation.
I'm always looking for places.
Has Woodbury County approached you folks on? I mean, right, this is news all around the whole tri-state area.
Right now, Woodbury County is so full they barely have room for their own prisoners, so we can't house prisoners there right now. But their sheriff has expressed interest in wanting to house prisoners once they have their new facility online and. And ready to accept prisoners.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you for that.
Anything else? Any other comments from the board? And otherwise, Joan, the roll.
Scott.
Yes.
Janet.
No.
Larry.
Dupe.
Troy.
No.
Robert.
Yes. All righty, then. Thank you, guys, for being here. Let's see. Then we can skip
B
and go to under item 4 is C, I think, is the next item on the agenda. I'm assuming, are you gentlemen here with the engineer? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So item C is discussion and answers addressing questions from civil engineers and constructors regarding the M Avenue paving project. You want to come up and introduce yourselves or whoever wants to do the speaking? Welcome.
Hello. Brett Langley with Civil Engineers and Constructors. We're located at 1270 South Derby Lane in North Sioux City, South Dakota. We didn't bring any formal presentation today, but we can certainly answer any questions you guys have about the project. And I think where we last left off, we kind of sent you guys a summary of our walkthrough of the project with a few questions at the end of that summary, and I assume some of those are what you guys are looking to answer or ask us today.
Right. So I guess I know Larry and Troy were both involved in some of these, and I think your answers in here are the ones in the notations in the red.
Yep.
So Larry or anybody can answer. So the first one, if we just take these by what they are, I'm assuming, so Larry, the first one, or Troy, the discussion revolved around utilizing existing gravel as a paving base where possible. So are we talking, is this part of a cost? Is this a cost? Whatever cost direction question. We go here, this is a cost item?
Correct. Almost all of these questions are somewhat related to cost.
That's what I figured.
And I have the same thing pulled up on my phone here, just so everybody knows. So
okay.
Looking okay. away, but yeah. So the question there was about utilizing as much of the existing gravel on the road as we can. The further we've gotten into design, the more we are raising and lowering the roadway in areas to the point where we're not going to be able to utilize the gravel very much for a road sub base, so most of it will have to get peeled off and then reused for shoulders or fill material elsewhere on the job or sub base where we can use it on the project. But as far as staying right where it's at, that'll be a tough option.
So is that a... Do you need an answer?
Or I don't think we need anything new on that
one. On that one, no. Okay. So if you want to, if you don't mind, go ahead.
Sure, I can kind of go through some of the items here. So,
thank you.
Yeah, we proposed a thickened edge when tying into the bridge deck. So that item's related to trying to tie our project into the existing bridge there. So we're planning a new roadway on both sides of the bridges, and really we just need existing plans for that as best we can. We reached out to Jolene, I don't know, that's someone,
yeah,
you,
yeah.
Nice to meet you, and didn't have any plans for that, so I suppose we will match up to that bridge as best we can.
Okay.
So nothing needed on that item, really.
Okay.
Discussing multiple roadway options. So a big question we've had throughout this process of looking at a new roadway section is whether or not we have curb and gutter out here. So
which one are you on now?
I am on the
3A.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
It branches into a few different questions,
okay.
I suppose. But the big difference there being if you have curb and gutter, the roadway needs to be a little bit wider as your user's driving down the roadway. If you're in a particular lane, if there's a curb right next to you, that needs to be offset another 2 to 3 feet total from where your lane is, just to have enough space for users on that road. So if you don't have curb and gutter, that road can be a little bit more narrow, like a 24-foot roadway section, which is what we're proposing here. Right now it's a lot wider, yeah. Right now it's probably about 33 feet wide. So our 24-foot roadway section is 24 feet of concrete with, it'll be 4 foot of gravel on either sides for a gravel shoulder. So the total of that is pretty similar to, and it varies a little bit, anywhere from 31 to 33. This roadway section would be 24 feet of concrete with the 4 foot of gravel on either side, making 32 total. And that's pretty typical for a county road. If you look at some of the other county roads in the area around there, and same thing in Woodbury County, et cetera, that's a pretty similar roadway section.
For big farm equipment and trucks that gets trailer or campers and...
A little bit of that is going to be them driving off on the shoulder, especially when there's other traffic, you know, coming the opposite direction there. But
And if the board decides so, they can make it wider, right? It just is going to add more to the cost.
Absolutely. So that 24 is just a suggestion on our part based on, you know, some pretty similar county road sections.
What's more than norm?
Yeah.
And I think, Larry, you said, what were you thinking, 30?
Well, it was my money and I had to spend, it'd be 30.
Which is about the width of the road, a little narrower than the road now, just a little.
A little, but not much.
But not much.
Of shoulders. And
yeah.
So...
don't want to get into that cemetery much of any.
What? So is that
shoulders and wider paving? Is that what, or the whole thing?
Well, to make the paving wider,
30-foot paving.
The shoulders are going to be smaller.
30-foot.
But that's my thought. Like I said, I mean, it don't have to be anything. I mean,
so would that be 20% increase in the cost then from the 20, or was that, is that more?
Probably.
So 24 to
24 is 60, so at least a 25%, if not more. I would caution on the side of more because whenever you widen more concrete, your impacts outside of that get bigger on both sides too. So you have the same amount of shoulder or kind of a flat area that you have to have off the edge of your traveled way. So the more you have for concrete, the more your extents of the project are going to be as well.
See, if you get to the point where you just got a little diggy shoulder, especially in that dip between the two hills, you try to fill that much, then the back slope's going to wind up going further out into that field and get out of our right of way, is what would happen if we get into some private property, which I'm assuming a guy could probably make a deal with the individual, I don't know. But it's something that needs to probably get considered if we're going to go to 30. I think that area there would probably wind up being an issue.
There's a few different spots where it's pretty tight. As well as if you go with curb and gutter, what you're doing there is keeping almost all of your water on the roadway itself. You know, it doesn't shed off of the roadway like it does with just a normal crown right now on a county road. So with adding in curb and gutter, you have to add in intakes to catch that water and then more storm sewer piping to take that water to your ditches or the outfall by the bridge there. So that maybe that 25% is more like a 30 to 40% increase when you look at all of the storm sewer costs as well.
Were you involved in the, because we had a estimate from 18 that got updated to, so were you, you're familiar with that update?
Yes. I didn't bring it with me, but I saw
that's
it
okay.
before I came
That's
here.
Okay. So, yeah. And that was around 900,000.
940,000.
Yeah, 940. So with these, has any of this been plugged into that, or are we still,
I want to say that had a little bit of storm sewer, probably 20 to 30% of the project would have had a storm sewer with that. So that was still not for a roadway section that had curb and gutter for the entire thing. It would have just been in some areas where, probably along the cemetery for the most part, where there's a bit of a steep wall there and we can't go much wider at all.
Okay. So you said that you would suggest wider, the Larry's thoughts on 30 foot rather than 24?
If you're going to make it work.
The other way around.
The other way around?
No, so our suggestion, CEC, would be to stick with the 24-foot wide concrete section with 4-foot shoulders on either side. That's not to say that it wouldn't be a better product necessarily with it as a 30-foot paved roadway, but sticking with what a more typical county road is and what I feel like the overall goal here is, that's where the 24-foot 4-foot paved shoulder, excuse me, 4-foot rock shoulders. That's where that suggestion comes from.
Okay. So is that something then, are we looking at 24? You need something for to move forward approval on the 24, or you do both? I mean, it's just plugging in numbers?
I'd like to say this, then, if that's okay. We would plan to move forward with 24-foot wide paving with 4-foot gravel shoulders unless we're directed otherwise today. I think that's pretty close to what we started out as and what I believe the intent is here, unless we hear otherwise.
I'm okay with that.
Okay. We're just to get a price. We're just trying to update our price.
Well, we got to make, if he starts on design for 24, we about got to stick with it because it'll cost more money to design it for 30.
Okay.
So if they do two designs, one for 24 wide, and go back out and do the slopes and different things that changes when you go to 30, it'd be initial cost. So we got to kind of make a decision as to which.
But if we're looking at, if we're looking at just rough figures, if let's just say $1 million, and you add 25% for the 30 foot rather than 24, then it's a little more.
I said it was my money.
It's not his money, so we're moving forward with the 24. Well, anyway, that would be my.
I wonder if we should just go a little bit bigger, because I think of just the other day I met one of those big giant things that has the wheels that are way far apart.
Sprayer, probably.
And I thought, can I fit through the middle of there? You know, because like I didn't know if I could.
I don't.
Seriously, get. I mean, not that you read me one of those every day, but
But coming over the hill, you don't know what's coming until you get there. Mm-hmm. It's not there.
How wide is our road going from the shop over to Hubbard Jackson? How wide is that
22.
Road? 22. Yeah.
Oh, it's only 22?
That's 22.
But they use the shoulder.
They'll give you some idea, though.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, in the case, in now, it's going to be one of those tires is on concrete, the other is on the rock right. shoulder. And so, still an improvement overall, I would say, but
I would add that if it was a 30-foot road, there's about, I would say, 100% chance that we're going to have to grade into private property. The 33-foot established right-of-way down the center line will definitely be on the outside extents of that, probably between 60 and 70 feet.
So that speaks to where I was saying, if we make that road wider, yes, the extents go out further on your side as well.
So, I guess I mean, we can do whatever you want to do. I mean, I think 24.
The road on Bluff Road is only 22, huh? Mm-hmm. Bluff Road.
And it's anywhere from 2 to 4 foot rock shoulders on either side of it.
So 20 foot, 3 to 4 foot shoulders would still be a huge improvement to what we have now.
Yeah.
So on Mill Road, see, that's 24, but it don't have much for shoulders up like that, you know, like that there.
But that's what I'm worried about on that. Those are hills like this. You'll be able to have some shoulders without dropping off.
4 foot.
Okay. Falling off the edge. I always feel like I'm falling off the edge.
Don't give in to the oncoming traffic.
Well, and for the most part, now too, you'll have your dedicated lanes as you're going over the top of the hill, so you don't have to worry about moving over to your side more in those situations.
That's true. Good point.
Another big design aspect of this road is the attempt to improve the speed limit here. I suppose I don't know what it's posted at right now, but when we look at a design, your design is generally based on what the posted speed limit is going to be out there. You design for 5 miles per hour, greater than what your posted speed limit is. So,
it's a gravel road now, so it's 50 mile an hour, correct?
I don't know for certain, but
it's 50.
Mm-hmm. So the
not
current
posted 50,
not posted but 50. Gotcha. So it's going to be significantly less now. Right now, the current design shows that it would have to be posted as 20 miles per hour. And the reason for that is, I suppose it helped to have some diagrams with me today, but how steep your hills and such are. So if we're going to improve the speed limit, we should be adding to the bottom of the hill of the depressions or valleys and then cutting out of the top of the hills. And the hills on this project both have driveways next to them, so we can't cut very much. When we look at I believe it was a 40 mile per hour design, so it would be a 35 mile per hour posted speed limit, we were cutting 8 or 9 feet out from the roadway where there's a driveway existing. I don't know what the property owners are there, but it's just not feasible. So
do we post that? Can you post it in this section it's 25 or whatever it is, and then over the hill going, then it changes to go that, you know what I'm saying? Or is it so?
So you'd probably be, it's possible to be something higher at the start of the project, and then it would have to drop to that 20 when you're going over the hill, and then maybe it could speed up when you get back down on the south side. I don't know for sure what that distance is where it has to be a consecutive speed.
It should be one speed all the way through. Just see, signs being out there, people have to mow around them, and it'd just be a nuisance. Just get one speed, 20 mile an hour from the bridge up over to the entrance of the park, and none of them. I mean, they ain't gonna pay no attention to speed limit signs anyways.
But yeah, the posted speed limit is the posted speed limit that protects you and the engineers and constructors, etc. And if there's a high school kid looking to catch air off the hill, I suppose that's...
Yeah. Okay.
So that's where we are at currently with the posted speed limit without cutting significant portions from the tops of the hill there.
Or filling a significant amount, which then would also lead to encroaching on all the private property.
Correct.
Okay.
Jumping down to, that answered most of our stuff all the way through number 4, so I'm jumping down to number 5.
You thinking that 24 having curb or not having curb?
Not having curb.
So how's the guy deal with the runoff from the swale between the two hills? It's got to go down. Currently there's a culvert, I think, there.
Yep.
That takes it down?
Just north of the cemetery. There's a little culvert.
So would the area drains it or curb in on that west side?
We would either have a little bit of a flume taking it off of the roadway there, or trying to have a little bit of an established swale there to do something similar.
Can you put a dip in the pavement?
No, we would still have a crown.
So what about the water that would be on the west side of the pavement?
There will be a little bit of storm sewer that will have to be placed. I mean, you'll definitely have to have a couple culverts, you know, three or four of them along the roadway to take the water from the west side to the east side where it eventually drains to. Yeah. There are a couple established culverts that we have checked, but we would have to go out and certify them and make sure that they're actually working the way that they're supposed to be doing it, and either removing and replacing it in the same location.
Okay. I'm jumping down to number five there. Does the county want CEC in charge of communicating design changes to the residents along M Ave and the impacts to privacy? So that has to deal with, for example, where we are cutting at the top of the hill. Even the design to get a 20 mile per hour posted speed limit there still involves cutting 1 to 2 feet at the tops of the hills near those driveways. So their driveway is going to go from something like, say, 10% slope to a 12 to, I don't know what we have exactly, but an increased slope. So a little bit steeper. Some of the residents there might not be through the moon about that, but questions like that in general, where either we're changing slopes of driveways or the extents of our grading to match into existing property, extend onto private property one way or the other. Is there anybody at the county that would like to lead some of that conversation, or is that something that you guys would like us to do, reaching out to these private owners?
What would that cost us if you guys do it?
I suppose just getting contacts from them for the most part. I don't think any significant new cost on our end. If we were negotiating easements and such like that, that's probably a different scenario where there'd be an added cost for that. But that's another follow-up question here, too. What do you want to do with easements and acquisitions? And do we plat this right-of-way afterwards? Because I don't believe the right-of-way is platted here currently. So, yeah, as far as reaching out to them and having discussions about what it's going to be, no charge. If we're negotiating easements and such, there'd probably be an additional fee to that.
You don't think I just go in there and pave it with a road right where it's at today and take claim to the fact that been there for 100 years, that's the way it's going to be?
I don't have an answer for that, unfortunately. I don't know how that works.
Kim? Hmm?
Do what, Larry?
The road goes
multitasking.
Like this.
The road
goes like this, mm-hmm. and gets off of the section line yeah. right away.
Oh, yeah.
But it's been there for 100 years, or maybe 200, I don't know.
It's not on the section line even, the road?
It appears to be.
Grading from over time, moving.
Oh, wow.
That's what it is.
Probably belongs in the cemetery, don't it?
Yeah, the section line does run through the cemetery.
We'd have to do some major things there that we don't want to do.
And you see this a lot with section lines and the county roads that are running on them. They do tend to veer over time to either the east or west.
Yeah.
And so it's established at the right-of-way is from 33 feet from the center line of the existing roadway over, and that would stay as we continue to move. Our question would be, do we want to actually dedicate this portion of land to the county and it would be taken away from the private sector, I guess, if that makes any sense. It's not typically with the section line on a county road, that would be the center of right-of-way, and then you would measure off of that. Because the road is veering, you go out and you measure what the actual roadway is and then go off your, I know that there's a term for it, and if Tim was here, he could actually explain it to you, but it's common to see it,
mm-hmm.
I guess is what I'm getting at.
I lost you. What? You would suggest we stay at the 33-foot center of the existing road, or
so
you're saying that we should
move the right-of-way will stay at 33.
That's the existing center.
The question would be, if we need to acquire more land for construction purposes, would that be dedicated back to the owner, of the private property and have it be a temporary construction easement, or would it get dedicated back to the county and be county property?
There's a couple of questions wrapped up into that one, for sure.
Well, I guess we'll have to, it sounds like we'll have to check out. We don't know for sure.
This was started in 18. Was any of this conversation started back then with landowners or homeowners along there? No.
We didn't get that far. I think we just had an estimate, I believe.
What's the new estimate for engineering as of today?
For the construction cost or the engineering cost?
Engineering and...
I don't know that we have a...
Through the bid process.
I don't know that we have an updated one yet. So the contract that we put together was in late 17, early 2018.
Yeah, right.
And we're tallying up what our costs have been to date and what we need to get that to the finish. So, yeah, I don't have that number today.
Okay, so we'll move on.
Okay.
Two. Something else we can solve.
Fair enough. We had a question on the radii or radiuses around the intersections there and for the driveways. We'd propose using values that are standard for us. So SUDAS, I don't know if anybody's familiar with SUDAS, but it's a state standard in Iowa for roadways and all sorts of design standards, essentially, for this type of stuff. And they have suggestions for the radiuses going into driveways and for intersections. We propose sticking to those unless you guys felt otherwise on these. And we'd have a large intersection at the entrance to the park down there. So I don't know if we need anything answered on that one. Just trying to go through this list
here. Are we going to the entrance of the park or to 203rd Street?
203rd.
Yes, sorry.
How does that relate to the park?
That's what you're talking about. 200.
Oh, there's a turn street, turn place into the park.
Well, no. The county road that goes to the park.
County road to the park. Oh, that is the...
Okay. Yeah, this is all going to be on M Avenue.
But right, then down there's Scott Scow's house and then...
But there's little, it does intersection kind of like deals, you know, where they run the paving a little past, away from.
Okay, got it.
The city, you know.
For gravel and stuff.
Yeah. You know that, you know, it makes reference to campers and boats and things, but there's also like low boys and drop deck trailers and stuff on bales of hands and things of that nature out there too, so I wouldn't get too small on those radiuses.
Correct, yeah. At all of the
one county roads that's down below there, there's that one field there, but ain't that big a field, but it just could be such a thing that you might use the bigger radius for that, not the 50, but down the other way you might want to use a 50. You know, where the road, county road goes to the park, you know. I don't know.
So we'll look at each of those intersections, and in general, we'll follow the standards for all of them except for the 203rd Street, I believe it is. We'd probably go a bit wider there to help with trailers and,
yeah,
other construction vehicles.
Consider my truck traffic come that way at harvest time.
Another item I am jumping down here pretty much to additional important items. It's in blue, which is letter A down there. So when we met with Troy and Larry, we discussed a roadway thickness. The minimum roadway thickness proposed now in SUDAS, this set of standards, is 7 inches. We talked about bumping this up to 8 inches because of the truck traffic out here. Cost is not considerably greater to do that, and so we would agree with that suggestion and move forward that way.
It's not considerably...
Not considerably greater, no.
What's your not considerably greater figure on it?
So as let's say you have a bid price of $44 a square yard for 6 or 7 inch paving, it's probably jumping up another $2 to $3 a square yard to bump it up another inch of paving. So it's a good decision in our opinion.
Okay.
So percentage wise, 7 inches to 8 inches is the thickness, is whatever that percentage is, and the cost is not exponential, or is not the same ratio, so to speak. So you get more bang for your buck when you go a little bit thicker.
Okay.
The labor don't change, it's just the material cost.
Right. Correct. I'm looking through the rest of these questions here, kind of on the fly. We've answered quite a few of them. Overall project budget. So is there an overall project budget that you guys have for this? Sometimes that will help guide our design decisions.
Cheap as possible.
It's a general, it's a good thinking, guideline, yes.
I was thinking 500,000.
Try to hit that.
Yeah, that's your guys' expertise, obviously, to come back and tell us, hey, this
what
is
the budget's going to be for.
Yeah, well, we know we had the 18 at 750, and the updated one we got 6 months ago was 940, so we know. And I don't know.
Correct, and we'll continue to supply an engineer's estimate on it. I just was checking if there was something dedicated in the CIP already for it, that
no,
kind of thing.
So with that being said, the 940 number, the updated one with the thickness and the width, et cetera, are we looking at significant changes in the 940 update?
No.
Do you think? Or I know that's not really a fair question.
That 940 is within the last couple of weeks, I want to say. So, and that's assuming a 24-foot paved roadway section with the 4-foot gravel shoulders on
okay.
the side. So. That 940 is pretty close to where we're at right now.
Okay.
Do you base your cost of engineering and design, is that based on the grand total of the project?
Our engineering design fees, are they based, sometimes they're based on, if you're pretty early especially, engineering fees tend to range anywhere from 8 to 10% of the anticipated construction cost. And really, it's just a guideline. Sometimes it can be less, sometimes it can be more.
We don't know
what.
If it was $1 million, how many dollars is it going to be?
100.
Off the cuff, yeah, it would be anywhere from 80 to 100,000 probably for overall. We're already contracted for some of that amount though, so any addition or change for us is going to be a lot less than that 80 to 100. Jumping back in.
So we paid for that estimate in hand, then that in 18, correct?
And the updated one, yes, and some of the preliminary drawings, and for our survey already too.
Okay.
So yeah, there's been.
Okay.
I wish I had that in front of you exactly what we put into it, but probably 20 to 25,000 worth of effort put into it to this point.
I have a question.
Yes.
Saying here that you're doing it to Iowa standards, how is that comparing with the Nebraska state standards for road rehabilitation?
Nebraska DOT has its own set of standards, which I'm not 100% sure how close it compares to SUDAS. So most of the different state standards are based on ASHTO and other nationally accepted standards like that, so I believe they're pretty close. But when you look at, you know, SUDAS in general, it's 1,000 pages of standards, so there's probably some that are pretty close and maybe some that vary a little. Would be the best answer I could give.
Well, I would think it would, since it's technically kind of like a rehabilitation resurfacing project, it would have to follow the Nebraska state standards to a minimum at least, correct?
If it's not a state project itself or a state-funded project, it doesn't have to meet Nebraska's exact standards. I'm trying to think of a good way to answer that. More so probably relates to the paperwork and stuff that goes along with the project that is state funded versus the geometrics and such of the project. Yeah, it's probably as best as I can answer that. So that is a part of the question, is are there certain requirements with the funding source here? So we would need to know what the funding source is exactly to make sure that there's, like, is this COVID relief funds? And if it is, we just need to make sure that we're meeting whatever requirements that COVID relief funding has. Sometimes those follow just the state's standards themselves, or sometimes it's whatever that jurisdiction already does for standards.
Well, I think it would be COVID relief funding.
COVID relief funding.
Mm-hmm.
So then, yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean,
but
yes.
They were talking about kicking in 25% too. So would that make it part state too funded?
Now they were supposed to give us $200,000.
Well, we asked him what they would give, or he was going to check into it. But would
yeah.
that?
I don't know. Does that matter?
It probably does. Yeah, if the state.
It's not the state. It's Papio.
Papio.
Yeah, Papio is not state. So
nothing to worry about there.
What's that?
Nothing to worry about there then.
No, usually, I mean, when we partner with another agency like the county, we'd be the lead agency. I mean, we would. You know, as long as it's meeting whatever specs that you guys have to meet, we're just a partner in talking. So
okay.
That's what we usually go by.
Okay. We can get a more definitive answer on that too, regardless, to make sure that whatever standards we're designing to are the correct ones.
Okay.
I would definitely see that as part of our scope, to not design a project that's based on the incorrect standards.
Well, it's American Rescue Relief. Right? ARPA?
Uh-huh.
ARPA funds?
Speaking of Papio, aren't they going to put some water lines in too? Does that kind of tie to all this, the water lines?
Rural water, yeah.
Yeah, it's not tying to this.
No.
No,
but it's, I mean, well, you guys going to run that rural water out there around the park area? Will you be up in the right of way, or you be on private
property? Depends on how this project goes, I guess. So we may end up going around, you know, clear out to the fields too. So, you know, it just kind of depends on what's happening. We're still trying to iron that out, depending on what's going
to
happen.
Is there any plan to go clear into Hubbard?
No, it's just going to go to the bottom of the hill there, where the bridge is, that intersection right there, and then it's going to go into the park to the east there.
And where does it come from? The south?
Yep. It's eventually going to come clear from, they're going to put a new standpipe in. So where the water tower is now up there, depending on what size of line they run, depending on what Hubbard ultimately decides, did they decide that yet?
I think they turned it down.
I thought I heard they did.
Yeah.
So it may just hook on to what's already, the 4-inch, I believe, that's already there, that's to the south. Down there, it's like a mile and a half south.
Bless you.
That's the direction it's coming from, anyway.
That'll be a good thing. Get done.
Yeah.
Okay, what else?
That answers. Yeah, that pretty much answers ours.
Good.
Oh, that's it for you guys?
Yeah.
Okay. So you got enough to go by. I see it says you suggest a 2022 bid, and it is unlikely. So bid 2022 winter for spring 23. Project.
That'd be our suggestion, yes, unless there's a different timeline that you're looking for. COVID, no, isn't that's okay, or no, isn't?
Yeah, no, it's okay.
Okay.
It's okay.
Typically, the COVID relief funds, from my experience on some other projects, are
23 is what we were thinking.
Spring
of 23.
Yeah, right. That'd be perfect.
Bid in the winter, bid in December 22 or November.
That's a perfect schedule.
So that way, them guys, the contractors, have it. Be looking forward to it. Even a little earlier than November, December, even October.
Getting their plan for 23.
Right. Yep.
What would be the construction timeline on this, you think?
Gosh.
I'm going to take a guess.
Depends on the contract.
Depends on the contract. That's a fair statement. I'm going to say the dirt work, I'm going to say 3 months.
I think 2 to 3 months is probably a fair estimate. There's not a ton of utilities. Utilities slow a project down quite a bit. There's not a lot of, you know, fiber lines, other utilities they have to deal with. It's mostly a grading and roadway project here with a little bit of culverts and
the major ones.
Coordinating.
Yes.
Those residents up there. Are you going to come up with some kind of a traffic plan so they get them out of there? Those two people, three people, actually.
So that'll be an issue for sure, is access for the people that are adjacent to the project. You know, there'll be times where it's closed down and we'd either have to build, say, a temporary gravel road for them to access off of on one side or another of the street, or allow them access on the road while it's being constructed, that kind of thing, to get them to their driveways. We would, without a doubt, close the road to through traffic, and would just be looking to limit it to those local residents if anybody was allowed to be on it.
Come to think of it, there's another place. Well, they go out through the park. There's another one east on that. Right to the bridge, go east there to the house.
I'd probably think four or five people at least that we need to keep access for.
The park and get out of there to the east. But those particular three guys up there, I don't know how you do it. You pave it full width, which I would sure think a 24-foot width guy would want to do. And again, ready to return them, run them dry water the next day or the same day,
You pave their driveway a little bit further back than you would have otherwise for the inconvenience. That's what I sometimes suggest.
You might have to get a four-wheeler driving back and forth to the Hubbard.
There we go.
Maybe we'll have to buy them one. Really good things.
And so, yeah, these are part of the conversations that I ask.
We got one that we use for spraying. We could get with that one out there for one party.
So are we back to that? Are you going to talk to the people about their driveway?
If we could get contact information from you guys for the four or five adjacent residents here, we could initiate contact for stuff that we're doing at those particular spots.
I can email that to you.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, we'll explain what's happening there, what we're proposing, and how we're trying to minimize impacts to any of the private properties. If there's still anger or dissent after that point, we'd probably end up deferring them to you guys, to Larry in particular.
The road committee.
I would think.
You would point it out, Larry. That's the only reason I say
they're not going to be.
Well, yeah, Ken hasn't been too unhappy for paper.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a positive result, and we would pave driveways back, through the return at least on.
Well, and that's the thing, different Highway 20 with everybody, all the construction of the bridge. It's an inconvenience for the time being, but once it's done, you know what? It's a beautiful thing.
That's construction in general. I agree.
Exactly. That's what I tell
you. Yeah, if I lived there, I'd be walking toward Hubbard.
If you had to, right?
Yeah. If I had to.
Yeah.
Walk two more, but somebody else would have to take
you
back up.
Probably give me a pony.
3 days.
Huh?
Probably just get a pony.
Yeah, get a pony.
You wouldn't take that much room. You could walk down alongside the paving.
Anything else, Brett, for us today?
Yes, for today, that's all.
Hey, thanks for the information.
All right.
Absolutely. I appreciate everybody's time and listening to us speak.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I think that then.
Is it just like Tim's email, only B. Langley instead of T. Lamprecht?
No, mine would be Brett L. Or it should be like Tim L. Mine would be Brett L.
Okay,
got it. Thank you.
Is that two T's or one T?
It's two T's. The only way to spell it.
No, I've got it right here.
Okay, I think that.
I'm a wise ass.
I think that does it for the agenda up to
ARPA.
So item G is ARPA approved project.
Thanks for coming in, guys. Have a good night.
Thank you, guys. Approve ARPA projects with monies from the American Rescue Plan relief funding. So we have Joan. I can only find Midwest Alarm. If you have the three, so we talked about key fobs for the doors. So we have three bids on those. The first one is from Anytime Lock and Key, and that was for $25,500. That was Anytime Lock and Key. Our second one was from Midwest Alarm, and that was for $11,460. And a third one was from Thompson
Electric.
There's something. But anyway, yes, Thompson Electric. For the amount of $19,556. So Joan and I have looked and talked to both of the low bidder, and then went back to Thompson, who was helpful in that, and we can see no reason why we would not take.
What was that per month cost?
Oh. So the difference in the bids overall, so the three prices, but also Midwest Alarm has a per month IT or service, whatever you want to call it, plan for $37.50 a month. So comparing the bids at $37.50, that would take 18 years to pay to get to the next low bid.
Better at 19 grand. Yeah.
So there is that fee, but same deal. Key fobs. There's 100 keys, and I just think it's a good.
What did we have at the jail at one point? We had some sort of key fob entry, but that never ever worked. Joan, do you remember what that was?
I don't know currently what they have.
Ask
to be honest
Randy.
With you, Randy, do you know what they have there? Do you guys have key?
The old or the fire hall, I guess.
Oh, fire hall.
Did I say old fire hall? Do you remember that I don't know what they had, but it didn't work, so we discontinued it.
Oh, well, I didn't know they had that over there.
They had it when it was when the actual fire hall owned it, right? And then did they give us the key fobs, and then...
I'm not sure how it worked.
I can't remember either. I vaguely remember it. Do you remember, Joel?
Yeah. It was had a programming issue. We just did away with it.
And do you remember what company that was with or anything, or what that was, or...
I don't recall. I remember the issue, and I don't remember. That's a fair question, though.
Yeah, you just don't want to go down that road again.
Right. Midwest Alarm seems to be pretty... They've been around a long time, and you see their signs around a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's 100? You get up to 100? Or what mm-hmm.
do we have? Right, they were the ones that had 100.
Is that a good number?
Exactly. Keep on, yeah.
I mean, do you think we need? I don't know how you have a number.
Yeah, I don't think we probably won't have.
So can we make a motion on this now?
Yeah, the jail and the
I'll make a motion for Midwest Alarms bid at
$11,460.
Excuse me, 11. I'm just rattling off the top of my head.
11,460.
I didn't write anything down.
I can second. Go ahead.
I'll second that.
All right. Motion by Scott and seconded by Janet to approve Midwest Alarm for key fobs, $11,460. Call the vote, please.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Okay. That's the only item I have under ARPA spending. Anybody else have any ARPA suggestions, questions?
I have gotten some questions. I've talked to some folks about, I know one of the original focus areas of ARPA was like broadband.
Mm-hmm.
We've been working with the SIMCO and kind of been struggling with that broadband speed test, et cetera. I know we put a couple of, what do they call those, polls in?
Different people put them in so they can give internet service to people in that area.
Yeah. Are those working?
Where are they? I guess I don't know. Are they in the county?
Yeah.
Out in the
monopoles?
Yeah, that's
monopoles.
The word.
There's one on.
Thank you.
On M Avenue, Hubbard just got a building permit, or was passing some to put one up in Hubbard also.
I don't know how much they cost, but it is a problem in some of the rural areas. And
I guess I haven't had any feedback about how well they're working. The thing is they're, you know, you have to be able to see them.
Mm-hmm.
So their range is only about like 5 or 6 miles if you can see
them.
So,
but there's a lot of people down in the flats, what I'm finding out. I used to live up by the golf course, where the golf course is now, and we had struggled. But there's a lot of people down in the flats that I'm understanding are having struggles.
Down to have a tower on every hill.
No. Well, and I don't know how much they cost, but it just seems to me if this is a problem, we need to figure
out. The owner who gives up their land got it free, right? And
correct.
Then it was the neighbors
that
connected to it that had to pay for it, is the way they explained it when they came.
So I don't know, like it's out on Gary Kent's property. I don't know what neighbors.
I guess we should talk to them.
Yeah. Hooked up to that.
How's your internet in Hubbard, Joan?
Mine's wonderful.
Is it?
I got NNTC.net.
Well, I think Stewart's would probably benefit.
Fiber.
Them, but I guess I can't think
of. Oh, you got fiber.
And maybe that would help people down on Pigeon Creek.
Yeah, Northeast Nebraska Telephone Company ran fiber.
What do you got, Scott, at your house?
Cable One.
Janet, that was a huge discussion.
Was it?
Huge.
I had people calling me.
And the solution is Starlink. If you can't get it, I have Starlink. Best thing ever. High speed. There's no. You can use as much data as you want. It's fast.
Does it operate off satellite?
Isn't that about like a year out?
Satellite?
It took me 2 weeks for my house, and it took me about 2.5 weeks for the shop.
What's the fee, Troy?
It's 110. It's $500 for equipment. It's $110 a month. So it is kind of expensive per month, but it works great. I can actually watch Netflix now, and if my wife's watching Netflix, I can get on the computer and do whatever I want. There's no buffering or nothing. It's awesome.
So is it a satellite? Something?
Yeah, and when you put it up, you don't even have to aim it. If you just put it up and it has to aim south, it automatically grabs the satellite.
I'll be darned. And
I should mention that to these people that I've been
satellite.
To. Starlink.
I'll be darned.
And it has to really, really be a huge... I mean, well, we haven't had any huge rains, I guess, very long. But if you have a thunderstorm and rain, I haven't had any trouble yet. I have a kick now. But.
So that might be... I was curious about those monopoles.
Isn't that Elon Musk thing? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's how you get billions.
That's how you crane.
$100 a month, $500, yeah, wow.
But $110 a month probably isn't that bad. I mean,
that adds up pretty fast.
NTC in town, you know.
See, that's one of the discussions in broadband is once you get it, it's the cost, you know, per month, like yourself. I mean, that's not broadband, but or I don't know what the state is thinking, because they got like, I don't know how many, hundreds of millions, I think, they dedicated to broadband, which they haven't rolled that out yet. But I mean, you know, you get internet, and then it's $100 a month. So
I wonder how cost effective these monopoles are going to be if you can hook up to a satellite and not need the construction of the actual pole.
Or what the monopoles cost. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
They got federal money for that, too. They got broadband money to put that up.
Okay.
And it had to qualify to be in a bad area.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other ARPA questions, suggestions? I guess before we move on, I'll just say that we started budget meetings today, and I'm telling all the department heads is we're going to have and Troy and I heard it a lot, and Carney also was taking care of the infrastructure, courthouse, et cetera. So we're looking at windows, we're looking at offices, we're looking at everything, because, I mean, really, it's a, I don't want to say a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I hope it is, but you know, if we can upgrade, Kim, you were involved in some of that today, but if we can upgrade, you know, whether it's paint, carpet, tile, whatever, I mean, you heard Don, we got our money, so.
I keep forgetting to mention, in our offices, there's two broken windows, and we have four. There's two of them are broken.
You're batting 50.
Two leak air so bad. So I guess that might be something I would look into too, is see if I could get the windows replaced out there.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Well, would you guys do that, or do you have somebody that can do that?
Well, I don't know if Morton. It's a Morton building, so I don't know if it'd be cost effective to go through them.
I think you can put a replacement in those. I know my shop's a Morton building, and I priced them from, it's Kevin Rasmussen. He has the one across from the Horizon Restaurant, Window World, or I can't remember for sure, but you can actually get a replacement that goes right in there and caulk in your deck. And it's a better window than a Morton window was. It's insulated and stuff.
So any of that falls under that type thing, we need to do it. We just need to do it. Let's go to then committee report. Scott, anything for the cause? No. Janet?
Nope. Like I said, we're budget committee meeting tomorrow again.
Larry, anything for the cause?
Nothing new.
Troy?
I tried several times to get a hold of the gentleman over on the fence.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't got him yet. I'll keep trying, and if not, I'll drive out again and see if I can find him. And as far as reports, Bob and I went to Kearney. That was a great, great deal. Learned a lot. Talking about restoring courthouses, we talked to a lady, or we got in a seminar, a lady from Texas. She goes around and works on restoring old courthouses, and she showed some really terrible pictures of some that were in dire need, but they had one that turned out beautiful, but they had some commissioners that were against it and some were for it. The ones that were against us wanted to build a new one, so they took it to the vote of the people. And the people voted yes. They restored this building, absolutely beautiful, and they had to take everybody out to restore it the way it sounded and everything. But that was kind of interesting. IT is a huge thing. Listening to IT,
cybersecurity.
Yeah. We got to hear a couple counties that got in trouble, got nailed, and for some people picking off emails because these criminals go around and try and and the black or dark web or something, your passwords, and they just keep blocking the numbers to get you, but that was a huge thing. I sat through a deal on Zelle, and they're like HR people and stuff, but and I did talk to Pamela Bourne too. I would like to get together and get all the department heads and all the commissioners sometime, which I know is probably impossible, but to just have somebody talk to us about HR issues, maybe get us better with people and problem solving skills. And Zelle would even go together with all the with everybody and work over a handbook and get everybody to sign off on our handbook, which is not done. And that was an interesting talk. I grabbed those people and talked to them, and so it's food for thought, but something for everybody to think about.
That's always good. I think training is always good for people.
But Zelle actually handles the HR, right? Don't they?
Yeah, I believe they do. Yes, ma'am. They deal with handbooks too, which is a big thing. So, everybody can learn something from an HR seminar. And they were talking about how there's a lot of people that just get up to date, the right way to handle things, the right way to do things. And I sure don't see how that could hurt this county at all.
I think leadership training is good because then there's some consistency and people share. And we have as much
I know next spring in April, NIRMA is doing a presentation out in Norfolk. They do one every year, but next year is about the HR, how to handle employees. She was strongly recommending people attend that too. So they're working on putting that together. That's what she said last week.
NIRMA gives us a lot of help and training, but then we still are on the ground doing everything and Zelle would do it for us, right?
Yeah, they'll do as much as you pay them to do, basically. If you want to know the truth.
Okay.
But they put on a great presentation, and I talked to them afterwards just a little bit. But I don't see how that could hurt us at all. Yeah. I think that'd be a great thing for
the
county.
I've seen them at the meetings too.
For the money you spend, I think you'd get back just a whole bunch.
Yeah.
It'd be a wealth of knowledge, and it'd do the county and employees a lot of good.
And Don's relatively new, and Cherie will be brand new. It's always good to have Christy.
Your department. I mean, but I think it should get all department heads, I think all commissioners, if you're going to do it right. And they'd come right in house and do it.
Yep. All right.
Development opportunity.
Yes.
That pretty much sums that up. It was a great conference, so we can always learn something.
Except for I didn't learn how to play pitch.
whether it's from other commissioners or other counties, you always learn something. So, with that, Joan, anything?
Big fire. Request for.
Oh.
Is that a
big fire?
Has the planning and zoning met again?
I did. That's about the environmental study. I did talk to Ben Fuller with Summit Solutions last week. He was out there at Valentine also, and he says they do that study, and he would make that available for us. So that's something that we make sure they do.
The pipeline already do.
These people do it already.
Summit did.
Oh, okay.
Summit.
Summit did do it.
Someone did one. I haven't talked to Navigator at all, but I wouldn't think I think they're pretty close.
Yeah.
Some is not going to put anything in the report negative because they want to put a pipeline in. These guys don't want a pipeline.
They have to do that for their state permits and stuff like that. So it's a condition for them to be able to put these pipelines in to produce, get these done from the state or for the state.
So somebody that's actually
right. So I can imagine
it's an independent firm. I'm sure
would be the one doing this.
So do we have to respond to this? Or is that something that's
just like a request
that's already
the county
done?
Do it,
you
but
said
that's something that's already
what's
done.
That?
Do we need to? So what do we tell these folks here? So that they have that study.
I can get a hold of them and have them make sure he forwarded it to us, and then we can just send that on to them people.
Okay.
And we'll talk to Navigator and see what they come up with too. But that's part of their permitting requirements. So.
Okay.
That's good. So it's already in process. Those mm-hmm. environmental studies are good.
Yeah, because we're not doing a study. But anyway.
I mean, they would definitely have to put the bill for that because they're the ones who want to.
So, yeah, but if there is something, yeah, if we get that, Jolene, don't forget because these guys want to. These guys want it in writing, so we'll get it to them. So, anything else, Joan? Nope. All right. We are adjourned. It says 56.
Do we have to be?
Oh, we don't have to be.
Okay.